Hey everybody, welcome to the Randown Podcast. I am your host, Robin Thede. Also, I host this other show called The Rundown with Robin Thede, hence why I'm hosting The Randown. This is our first podcast on the first part of 2018. Wow. I do not know what year it is, but the point is that you guys do, and that's why you tuned in, and we appreciate it. We had such a fun show last night. I am still on a ridiculous high from that show. And there's so much to talk about, but before we get into it, I am going to introduce our amazing guest. She is a writer. She's written for Late Night with Seth Meyers. She's written for Totally Biased with Kamau Bell. She is a stand-up. She has incredible material that if you have not seen it, you need to see. She's also got a comedy album called Just Putting It Out There. She's been on Conan. She's just an all-around fantastic person. Please give it up for Aparna Nancherla, everybody.
Woo-hoo! Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. That was such a thorough rundown.
I didn't even get through all your credits. You've got appearances on Amy Schumer, Corporate, Master of None. So many. Oh my God. When I saw you on Master of None in the dating scene, I just died. It's always so fun to see your friends on things.
I know. It's always, whenever I see someone I know on even a commercial, I get so excited.
You're like, I'm buying those baby diapers.
Yeah. Whatever it is, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't take much to sell me. Do you buy late night like infomercial stuff?
No, I don't think I have regular, I haven't had regular TV in so long.
Oh, that's so smart. You're saving yourself so much money on cheese graters and things.
What is the last thing you buy?
I bought, for my aunt, I bought the thing where you just get on it and you scoot your feet. It looks like a little skateboard, but it doesn't have wheels. It's like an exercise thing. It's just a piece of plastic that has two sides that are risen.
Yes,
and you
yes.
get on it and like twist your body.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought that for my aunt. She fell off it promptly cursed me. Okay, so look, let's get into the show last night because there is so much going on. First of all, let's do this first. 2 minutes before the broadcast, before our taping time, my co-EP, Kristen, comes running in and she goes, Donald Trump just called Africa a shithole.
I know.
I was like, oh my God, what do we do? What do we do? And I was like, tell me the story. Explain to me what happened. And honestly, we were like, well, it's unconfirmed at this point.
Right.
So we couldn't put it in the show because we didn't want to be wrong.
Yeah.
But we knew it was confirmed. You know, we knew it would be.
Yeah.
Were you shocked when you heard what he said?
I did one of those things yesterday where I took like a, I was like, I'm just going to nap for a half hour. And then it was like, it was like 3 hours. And then I woke up and I looked at CNN and that was the first headline. I was like, damn it, I can't, you can't even check out for a minute anymore.
Not at all. I know, it's true. You cannot get a catnap in without missing the end of the world.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like a 24-hour news cycle, like they're making a big deal out of this. I was like, no, this is a massive deal.
I know.
Remember when Obama called Kanye like a dumbass or something?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was like so, you know, it was appalling that he used the word dumbass.
Right.
You know, and it's like this president started out calling Mexicans a rapist. Then
well, that's
elaborated,
what I mean. He set the bar so low already that I think it's like, is there still room for us to be outraged? Should we be more outraged, the same outrage? It's now it's just different shades of outrage.
Right. How do you dole out your outrage in a way that's appropriate?
Yeah.
Well, and he called Haitians. He said everybody in Haiti has AIDS in December. And then I guess Jake Tapper issued it like a correction this morning. So he didn't say Haiti and Africa are shitholes. He said that get Haiti out of the agreement or whatever they were trying to do. Take them out, out of the protections. But then he said Africa's full of shithole countries. So let's be clear
which one is the shithole.
Yeah, but I love that was the retraction. It was like, no. He only called African countries shitholes. Oh, okay.
But now it feels like he's denying all of it. He's saying, oh, we should tape record the meetings now because the Dems are trying to
I would love
me.
That.
I know, I would too.
Please tape record the meetings because
air that as a podcast. I would listen.
We'll put it on the Randown. I just think, is he, and then some people were making the argument that he was mentally unstable and that's why he said it.
Oh,
that's like, no. Two things can be true. He can be racist and mentally unstable.
Yeah, why would that help get rid of that other, like the two aren't the same.
Right, that
all.
Doesn't help your fight.
He's like, how could I be mentally unstable if I'm a huge racist? Racists are known for their intellect. So weird.
It's true. And also, if you're saying he's mentally unstable, that's why he said racist things, then you've admitted the president is mentally unstable. You cannot talk your way out of those. But when that's their defense, it just makes me laugh.
Today he's getting his physical.
Oh, is that today?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Maybe they'll find a shithole.
They're like, it's the most shitholes we've ever seen on one person.
By the way, hey, our in-studio audience is here for 2018. Give it up for yourselves.
Yay.
Lamest claps ever. There's like 500 people in here. That was really weird. No, our staff is amazing. Shout out to the Rundown staff, too, by the way, and our producers who Liv, Saatchi, Brian Rock, everybody who does... who puts together this podcast, because it's Friday morning and we're exhausted from the week.
The show was so good.
You know, now that you mention it, let's talk about the show last
night.
Yes. We started off with a Scandal parody.
I loved that.
Right? It felt like that could be a show in Shondaland.
Yeah. I loved the biting of the umbilical cord.
Was that too much?
No, I feel like it was just right.
Okay. Let me tell you a little behind the scenes trick about how we did that. Because little do people know, you can't get real umbilical cords for a sketch.
I definitely didn't think it was real.
Well, I thought, sure, we'll just have a real one. No, I thought we were going to get, like, I don't know, some chitlins or something.
Right.
But what it was a trash bag twisted up many times into a long cord and painted brown.
Oh, my gosh.
To match the baby, because, of course, the baby had to be brown. And so every time I bit it, the paint chips would flake off into my teeth and my mouth.
Oh, God.
So by the third take, I was like, I'm not doing it. Well, no, the third take. So the first two takes, I did it, but I didn't like go for it.
Yeah.
And by the third take, I was like, fuck this. I'm not doing it anymore.
Right.
So I'm going to go for it. And that's the take you saw last.
Okay. Yeah. It did feel in that take. I was like, I really feel she is committed to cutting that cord.
Good. I'm glad. I'm really glad. And then we launched into the Rundown. We had so much to talk about last night. The tricky thing with these shows is that you never want to, you always have this conundrum on a week when you're coming back from a break, right? So
right.
We've been off for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Right.
And so we're like, do we cover everything?
Yeah.
And I said, no, let's just do stuff from the Golden Globes on, just stuff from this week.
Yes.
And even doing that, we had so much to talk about.
I know.
Oh, my God. The Oprah thing, to me, I know had been discussed ad nauseum, but I think my determining factor was like, a black woman in late night has not talked about
Yes,
this.
It would.
And it feels like people want to know what I have to say. So, you know, we dropped the Oprah banners. We did the whole celebration. Okay. But it's just funny because at the end of the day, like, I don't care what Oprah does. If she runs for president, great. If she doesn't, great. You know?
Yeah.
Like, but it was just funny to me, the media frenzy that happened.
I know. I thought it was just so amusing how all those late night pundits then had to give their take on Oprah, because I was like, yeah, I think that I wouldn't mind 24-hour news if it's just everyone talking about Oprah all the time.
I know.
I'm okay
it
with that.
It was kind of a respite from everything else.
For sure.
I just thought it was so funny how, like, the pundits had to come on to... Late night hosts are one thing, but it's like, you know, they got a team of writers and they can make funny jokes, but it is funny how they had to weigh in.
Yeah.
But the really funny people to me were the, like, serious news pundits who had to, like,
fill
time.
Right.
Like, even I went on CNN on Monday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was on Brooke Baldwin's show talking about it. And because everybody wanted to hear, you know, what people had to say. But, like, I was on with Dana Bash. Like,
oh,
you know what I mean?
Gosh.
Like, former White House
Dana
Bash talking about, oh, will Oprah run for president? I'm just, like, making jokes about it. I'm
right.
Like, Oprah can't be president. We're all going to have to live our best lives and believe who people are when they show us. You know what I mean? And like, Dana's like, I really feel like the point needs to be made that, and I'm like, okay. You know?
Yeah, like, you're like, this is.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, thank you, Dana. Like, all her points were great, and I love her, but it was funny, like, as a comedian to go on. CNN and like try to seriously comment.
Yeah, because I also feel like making a joke on CNN is so different from making a real joke as a comedian.
That's
like,
true.
Their jokes are just so
I learned that
strange.
Quickly. And there's no audience, so
right.
It's also like, you know, you're just laughing at your own joke. I found myself looking around for people to
like,
see
right?
if they were like, yes.
Right, boom guy?
The boom guy was laughing. No, it was great. But Brooke Baldwin is great, and she actually laughed because she's a good time. But the Yeah, so the Oprah thing was great. I thought that was a lot of fun. And in it, we kind of weaved in stories about Joe Arpaio and, you know, talked at other points, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. So we weaved in, you know, real news as well as the Oprah news. Well, the Oprah news was real. She gave a great speech. Do you think she gave that speech knowing that this conversation would happen?
I feel like Oprah doesn't think about us as much as we think about Oprah.
That is true.
You're
right.
Why she's kind of like, I'm just going to do what I do and see where lands. Yeah.
You're right. She went back to her farm in Stedman and was just like, now I'll go live my life. Because I don't think she came out this week and commented one way or the other.
No, yeah. Not really.
Well, Gail and Stedman were, though.
Really?
I think Gail, I think, said something on CBS This Morning. I think she was just like, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But Stedman said it's not out of the question. And Stedman doesn't make statements. So you listen when Stedman speaks. I think, though, they were just having a field day with it. I think they thought it was hilarious.
It is funny. I mean, I would, right now, really anyone else could be president.
Correct.
But, like, Oprah does feel like the, you know, the highest hope.
Well, I think Kamala Harris, but...
Kamala Harris is amazing.
She is amazing. But the thing about Oprah, but again, if Oprah did decide to run, you better believe I would definitely, like, seriously entertain the candidacy. But the funny thing to me is they tore Oprah apart so quickly, more so than they tore Trump apart. I mean, like, that being said, the left tore Trump apart terribly and continues to. But I just feel like people from all sides came at Oprah in a weird way.
Yeah.
I feel like even people on the left were like, oh, is this serious? This can't be a serious run. And I'm like, you guys, she never said she was running. Why are you so mad?
I know. Well, it's also, I think people latched onto the, like, oh, well, she's also a TV person. And look what happened when we did that this time. And it's like, to even equate them in any way is insane.
Yes, correct. It is insane.
But also just, like, I don't know. I hate to, like, always be like, also, she's a woman and she's a woman of color. Like,
yeah.
It's so easy to go for.
That's right.
I feel
but
like
it's
some
true.
Of those biases are so
absolutely.
Implicit.
I felt like if you think Hillary Clinton got it bad, wait until Oprah announces.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, we already saw the vehemence that happened immediately when she didn't even announce.
I know.
So, but, you know, if anybody could handle it, I do think O could handle it.
I do.
Because you're right. She doesn't give a shit about what people think.
I know.
She doesn't. But she does have a goal of making people better. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's what a president should be, but I don't think it's a bad thing as a person or as a leader of some sort. But anyway, enough about Oprah. Is it ever enough about Oprah?
I'm like, has anyone ever said that?
No, and I don't mean it. It's not enough.
No one means it.
It's not enough. I'm telling you, when I meet, as I look at the tambourine I have in my office with Oprah's face on it that's hanging on the wall, Oprah and Beyonce are like the only pictures that I have in my office besides me. Beyonce's over there. She sent me a holiday card. It's behind your chair. she didn't, but anyway. Rachel Dolezal in the H&M hoodie. I don't know why she made her own version of the hoodie. But then we went on her website and I was talking to some people on our staff.
Yeah.
She actually sells a lot of things.
Okay.
She sells lollipops and bedazzled lollipop holders. And she sells 5x7 pictures of herself for $5.99. And you too can own a piece of Rachel Dolezal merchandise.
Does it say anything? Like, is it inspirational?
No. There's a picture of her apparently...
Is
eating,
it like you can be anything, even a different race?
Don't let your race limit you from being another race. Oh, my God. That would be so funny. She would make more money if she did some shit like that. That was just, like, comedic. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that, I would totally buy that.
Just lean into
Lean into it. If she was like, okay, I'm white now, but now I have all these jokes on what the fuck I did in the past.
Right.
That would be so funny. No, it's just earnest glamour shots of her. And apparently one, she's eating a large chocolate.
Ugh.
And so, one of our staff members ordered it and will show it to us when it gets here. So,
oh my gosh.
It doesn't just stop at the hoodies.
But also the hoodies, I mean, this is purely a more aesthetic complaint, but I feel like the hoodies look like they were made on, like, Zazzle or something.
Correct.
Like, it just feels like she should have aimed higher.
So true. Like, you could have just made a family reunion sweatshirt and that one at the same time. And then the mom came out and was like, it's not a big deal. Who cares? And I had, let me tell you. So the mom's from Sweden also, where H&M is. And well, because that's where they do all their shoots.
Right.
And so I had a black British friend of mine prior to this incident. I brought up something about somebody calling someone's child a monkey, a black, you know, child a monkey. And he was like, what's the big deal? And he was like, that's an American thing. Black people in Europe don't think being called a monkey is a bad thing. We think it's cute. And I was like, we argued for hours. Oh, and I was like, but that's not true. And da, 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 da. And then when this happened, I thought, wow, maybe that's true. Maybe that's like a black European thing, that it doesn't have the connotation that, because the monkey thing for us is clearly linked to slavery, to minstrelsy, to vaudeville, to all these, you know, Jim Crow. There were, you know, for hundreds of years, black people were depicted as monkeys in this country.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a particularly American thing or not. But my thing is, at the end of the day, H&M is a global corporation,
right?
And they should know better. And it's just ridiculous to me that they would.
Yeah, and I feel like, isn't there in, I don't know if it's Scandinavia or maybe it's Dutch, but they have that like Santa Claus in blackface.
Netherlands, so, yep.
I don't know.
They have, what's it called? Pete? Black Pete.
Black Pete,
and they dress, all the white people put on tar blackface.
And like afros.
And walk around the streets, and afros and walk around the streets.
So I don't know.
And they argue that it's fine. Like, they'll argue. I've had friends that lived, black friends that lived in Amsterdam. Amber Ruffin from Seth Meyers.
That's right, yeah.
Lived in Amsterdam. Her husband is Dutch. And they think it's fine. They think it's totes fine.
Okay.
When, like, the rest of the world is looking at you going, stop doing this!
I know.
Do yourself a favor, people. Google it if you haven't seen Black Pete from the Netherlands. Or don't.
Or don't. Maybe you do.
Yeah, don't participate.
Yeah. Maybe the holidays are over and it's okay to leave that behind.
I think it's okay to leave a lot of stuff behind. My thing is, if someone says something's offensive, I don't care where they're from or who they are, if they're offended, then there's no reason I need to do it.
Right.
Unless somebody says writing comedy is offensive, then, you know, I'm not going to argue to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm going to argue to keep writing comedy because that's my job.
Right.
But, like, if somebody says, hey, don't use that word.
Yes.
I don't like that word. It's offensive. Like, if a woman says, don't call me girl, call me woman. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't do that anyway. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people just fight so hard to use things that are offensive?
I think it's that knee-jerk thing of like, because honestly, the people I hear the most like, oh, we're living in an overly PC culture jokes from are like straight cis white men.
Yes.
And I do feel like they had unchecked ability to do and say whatever they wanted
sure
for
did.
So long that it's like this knee-jerk of like, no, if you start restricting me, where does it end?
At a better tomorrow?
I know. And you'll probably still be fine.
You'll be super fine.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like
I just need to be free to say bad words, like racist, bigoted stuff, and not be censored.
Like, I'm okay. Like, how boring is your life that
totally.
Is what you have to talk about?
Totally. I agree. Well, you know, that's always, we've had this conversation on panels and stuff in the past about, you know, people saying comedies, some comedians are on the side of like, comedy's too PC. I won't even work at universities because they won't laugh at jokes. And then the other side saying, hey, maybe we should evolve and grow.
Yeah.
You know, where do you fall on that spectrum of
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I want to be associated with pro-evolution. Yeah, I mean, I'm pro-growth, too. And I, as a comedian, I understand pushback. Like, I get people on Twitter, like, sometimes you'll make a joke about, like I'll make a joke about immigration, and then someone might push back, like, you're not talking about the slave ships, though. And I'm like, yeah, but that joke was not about that.
Right.
So I can't address all the issues in like, 140 characters. So
it's 280 now, Marta. You absolutely can't address all the issues.
Now I can. Yeah. But
you're great on Twitter, by the way. Please follow her on Twitter. Tell them your Twitter handle.
It's Upar Napkin.
Mm-hmm.
APARNAPKIN. It's
so
hard.
Just put a par.
I know.
Like a par on a golf course.
Napkin.
And then napkin.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. One of Twitter's finest. You've been voted many times. Twitter's top five, top 10. Have you been number one on Twitter?
I don't know what these lists are.
Oh. Well, I know because you made one this year recently with one of our writers, Z-Way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You guys are in a top 10 of Twitter, which makes sense to me. I mean, I think you're freaking fantastic. Oh, you're on Facebook too? I'm not on Facebook.
I only have a comedian page now because I had to get off the personal. It's too much. It's too much.
Right? People from high school just finding you. You're like, I moved away to leave you people.
I know.
No, I'm just kidding.
Or you're like, I feel like we didn't even know each other then. It's like, why?
That's my problem is I did not know these people then.
Yeah.
And now they're like, we went to high school together. Why are you acting brand new? And I'm like, I don't know who you are.
I really don't know.
Opened my yearbook and I'm like, you're not in here.
You're actually not even in the yearbook.
Yeah. But, you know, my yearbook was printed on a stone tablet, so it's hard to make out everyone. All right. So anyway, the only other thing I want to talk about from the show last night, there was so much. We talked about food deserts. We talked about Jeff Sessions' war on marijuana. We talked about Ben Carson. I mean, there's so much we pack into each of our shows. But more than anything, I want to talk about Fresh Morsels and the cat food for us. I really wanted to do, if you guys haven't seen it, there's a sketch. We can actually play a little part of it now. Take a listen.
My cat means the world to me. That's why when it comes to his food,
I want Mr. Wizcat Lipa here to eat the very best.
But until now, that hasn't been easy.
Most gourmet cat foods come in flavors like poached salmon with dill and steamed garden vegetables.
That's white people cat food. Why can't my cat eat the same food I like? That's why I created Fresh Morsels. It's cat food for our culture. It comes in 10 delicious flavors your cat will love, like lemon pepper wings, sweet potato pie, and Mr. Wizcat Leva's fave, chicken and waffles.
See, it's crazy. what I wanted to do with that sketch, one of our writers, Doug Abels, was I tasked him to write a sketch where I am in one location talking straight to camera for several minutes.
Oh.
And this is what his genius mind came up with.
Great.
He had an idea already to do black people's cat food, which makes no sense, but I love. And then I wanted to do something that had a really dark, weird turn.
Yeah.
And so we worked together and he came up with this great sketch. And in the sketch, I am advertising a cat food, black people cat food, essentially. And then it turns into a story about how I got arrested when I was trying to buy it one time in the supermarket and got sent to private prison and racked up debt and then, you know, come back and invent Fresh Morsels. But did you think I was totally weird after you watched that, or did you enjoy?
No, I enjoyed that it started out with an absurd concept already.
Yeah.
And then it was like, can we get weirder?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. We can totally segue into a weird dark past. But I think the favorite detail, like kudos to whoever did wardrobe, was the fact that your sweater looked like maybe it was made of dog tails or some other.
You're very close. You're very close.
Foxtail?
You are so good. I'm going to tell you the whole story about that sweater, but okay. Go ahead. Is that all you were saying?
Well, okay. Just that was a very bold choice to make for a pet food commercial.
Yep.
Because you're like, is she maybe anti-dog here as well?
Right. Good. Okay, you're very close.
Okay.
I'm glad you asked this because this is something I wanted to talk about. It's very important to me. 2 years ago, I was in Silver Lake, California, hanging out with friends, and we decided to go to a vintage store, because every now and then I like to peruse vintage stores, and Silver Lake has a number of them, to pick up just weird clothing items that I know will be used for a sketch at some point.
Sure.
Right? So I found that sweater. It is foxtail, and I put it in my closet, and I said, someday this sweater will be worn. That someday came.
I can't believe it.
January 11th, 2018. So what happened was when we came up with the sketch, we wanted this lady to be like suburban, come off as suburban and like well-to-do, but off. There was something definitely off.
Right.
It's like a take on the crazy cat lady.
Yeah.
But like not dumbing down. Like not, or not punching
down.
But
not in the traditional way.
Not in the traditional way. Because everybody makes the crazy cat lady seem like she's, you know.
Like she's sad.
Yeah, or her hair is crazy. Yeah, and I was like, I want this woman to look gorgeous.
Right.
But I want there to be something that says to you, wait a minute.
Right.
So I said to our stylist, Pam Shepherd Hill, who's incredible, shout out to her and Tish Ferguson, for my hair last night, which we haven't even talked about yet.
I know.
She made me some fabulous long hair. But anyway, so the sweater, she said, well, what do you want to wear for Fresh Morsels? I'm thinking this, this, and this. And I said, don't worry about it. I got it. And I brought it the sweater, and she was like, holy shit. So I said, what I'm thinking is, these are all the cats she's lost.
Oh,
the
my tails. Gosh.
So I was thinking, like, it's an homage.
Oh,
like, she loves
gosh.
Her cats so much. PETA's going to kill me. She loves her cats so much that she saves their tails.
Right. I mean, a lot of people taxidermy their
this
pets.
This is what I'm saying. And so it's really out of love.
Yeah.
And she's made them into this sweater.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's her story. And she's wearing it, you know. And so that's the story behind that. And that I just wanted her to be, like, seem normal and devolve into something very not normal. And
right.
I think we got there.
I think you knocked out the park.
I had a Kris Jenner wig on. It was just fantastic.
And I just love that there's such a backstory on an interstitial commercial. That's so good.
That is the quality that goes into the rundown with Robin Thede. Everything is really overthought.
I love it.
People are like, why aren't you on 5 days a week? And I'm like, do you have any idea what goes into the 22 minutes of programming that we make? You have no idea.
You know how many sweaters I'd have to thrift for?
I thrifted 2 years ago. That is the vision, Aparna, that I have
I
had for
it.
This show. 2 years ago, I saw.
That's what sets you apart.
Thank you. Thank you. See, take that, Corden.
Also, Corden. Could any of those hosts pull off a sweater like that? No.
Absolutely not.
No.
I dare them.
I know.
So, anyway, real quick, I want to give a shout out to all the people. We were trending last night across the U.S. For hours and hours, only behind Don Lemon, who called the president racist. But, you know, no shade, but we've been calling the president racist every week. But it's different when a journalist does it. I understand. And good for him. And I'm glad he did it. But anyway, our Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook family always takes care of us on Thursday nights. They show out for us in full force. And I just want to give a shout out to a couple folks. Lena Waith, Emmy Award winning Lena Waith from Master of None. Give it up, ladies and gentlemen, for Lena Waith. She tweeted, I love a rundown, and it's extremely important that we all tune into the Rundown BET. Or else shows like this won't exist, and we need this show to exist. World events with a hint of shade is what we all need, and that is the truth. Gabrielle Union said, make sure you watch tonight. Robin Thede is so good, and then lots of, like, fire, like, lit. It's lit emojis. Crystal, friend of the pod, and from the famous The Read podcast, said, I'll be the first one signing up for Oprah's Bong Club, hashtag the Rundown BET. Oprah's Bong Club, man. That we wish that was a thing. And then folks from the show, you know, just folks saying, Mr. Nick Charles said, damn, Robin Thede, that went dark quick, fresh morsels. And then just people loving the different hairstyles and stuff in the show, which is really fun. I had three different hairstyles, fresh morsels, scandal, and the show.
Yeah.
We go through a lot of hair on this show. It's very fun. But you know what I wanted to talk about really quickly is that you... This show would not exist if it weren't for you.
Crazy. Crazy.
Aparna actually worked on the pilot of this show in October, November of 2016.
Yes.
Back when a young upstart named Hillary Clinton was running for president.
Oh, my gosh.
Remember that? And we were writing it right before the election.
Yeah.
And we had to write basically jokes for...
For either outcome.
Right.
Which is...
And we had more Hillary jokes than not. So I think at the last second, I had to end up like 3 a.m. before we shot the pilot rewriting a bunch of jokes to include Trump, which was... What a time to make a pilot of this kind of genre.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's also interesting because I know when we went into it, you were like, I want to obviously include politics, but I don't want that to dominate the show.
Yes.
And then the election
Oops.
Happened and it's like, good luck with that.
Yes, it's true. And the funny part about that is when I was promoting the show before we premiered in October, I was like, you know, look, we don't have to talk about Trump all day. No, black people didn't vote for Trump. We don't need to talk about him. You know, we don't need to know he's bad. And they cut to every week we talk about Trump. But we try not to as much as we have. You know, last night we actually only talked about him in Act 4. He ends up entering the conversation, you know, of his own volition quite a bit. But our show actually doesn't have to, you know, break its back on Trump every week, which is nice.
Yeah, and I think even now, like, the media is, like, kind of exhausted with only talking about him to the extent that it did, like, right after he won and, like, right after the inauguration.
I don't know. He's doing stuff.
I mean, I think they obviously cover the latest, like, whatever he did, but I do feel like it's less, like, only him, all the time. Because that is a little bit also what he wants. So,
it's true. Yeah. And they did take that Oprah thing to the nth degree, so they were very excited to talk about that and to be distracted, at least, you know, quote-unquote distracted. That's a word that gets overused.
I know.
Do you think we're distracted when we talk about other things? But it's like, I can talk about other things and also still think Trump is a piece of shit.
I know. Again, two things can coexist.
What is that phenomenon about? We were talking about this earlier, how when you tweet things, you know, people go, well, what about this? Like, meeting last night, I tweeted a piece about our food insecurity Act 2, which was about how school lunches are being taken away from kids, primarily kids of color, when they can't afford to pay for their lunches.
Yeah.
So kids just aren't being allowed to eat, which is crazy. And I said, it's a shame that in our country, black and brown kids have to deal with this, something, something.
Right.
And somebody tweeted back, it's a shame that all kids would have to deal with this. And I'm like, yes, you're right. White children should also eat. But the main people affected by that, like, but those things can both be true.
I know.
I'm talking about a very specific thing. It's like,
I always call those types of comments the missing the point brigade.
Correct.
They're like ready and waiting to be like, whatever.
I know.
About this.
I feel like if I'm like, I broke my leg, people are going to be like, but what about the other leg?
Yeah.
No one else should also break their leg.
It's like the All Lives Matter.
Yes.
But for everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think that instinct is? Do you think people just don't want to be left out?
I think they want to seem like they care about everything all the time.
Oh.
If you're saying it's coming from the progressive side, because I feel like I get that sometimes where it's just like liberals nitpicking.
Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's the other side. Sometimes it's just random.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a SoundCloud link. I'm starting to get more of those, which makes me think I'm
making
it.
Wait, what does that mean?
Okay. So in Black Twitter, what happens is, which I include you in Black Twitter. In Black Twitter, when a tweet goes viral, when a tweet gets a lot of likes, people start posting their SoundCloud link. They'll go, while you're here, check out my SoundCloud.
Oh, yes. Got it.
And so you've made it.
Right.
That means your tweets have like a lot of likes.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to glom onto your success with their SoundCloud.
They're
link.
Like, I love your take on this. And
No, they never
take.
Say that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they just go, check out my SoundCloud.
Okay. Like, I don't have time.
No, they're not engaging. No. They're not like, they're just literal barnacles. They're barnacles on tweets. what do you think your most favorite, because you're such a Twitter star, what do you think your most favorite Twitter thing is about Twitter is, and what is your least favorite thing about Twitter?
I think least favorite is just people trying to make a joke on a joke.
Oh yeah, that's bad.
Where it's just like, no, this is my joke that I put out there, and then they're like, but here's my joke.
Yeah. Or when they explain your joke back to you.
Oh, yeah.
This is funny because...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Because it's not even... It's like, it's not super mean or rude, or it's just trying to participate, but it does it in a way where it like gets under your skin and then you feel petty for even being mad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're the dick because you're like, oh, they were just trying to participate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's in a way where you're like...
Yeah. That's funny that you didn't mention trolls calling you racist names or sexist names.
That all just feels, I don't know, that all just feels like noise now where it's like you're not.
Yeah.
It's like barnacles, but in the opposite. It's just like super mad barnacles.
Yeah.
Their SoundCloud is just like slurs, I guess.
And actually, don't you think it's gotten better since Trump is in office? Because right before Trump got elected, it was the height of people. And I think that was a lot of the Russian trolls too.
Right.
But it was the height of people really attacking.
I do feel like it's fallen off a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of miss them.
And then...
Yeah, what's your favorite part?
My favorite part... I mean, I kind of like the super weird memes that...
Oh, I do too.
And like the, what was the last thing, the like Gorilla Network or whatever?
Did oh, right. See that? Well, the one that's happening right now is Black Hogwarts. What? Have you seen this one?
No.
Oh my God. And I only saw it after we taped
what
last night.
Black
it's
Hogwarts?
Fantastic. So it's a whole chain about what Hogwarts would look like, memes and everything. What Hogwarts would look like if it was all black.
Yeah.
So like they said, they have a sorting do-rag and you get sorted into Gryffindor.
Oh my God.
Gryffindor instead of Gryffindor. And somebody said, this is what the Bobaxons would have looked like against Durmstrang if they were black. And it was like all these black girls doing these interpretive dances. Like, it's very, like, you have to know Hogwarts.
Whoa.
And you have to really know black culture to get any of these jokes. Like, not Bobaxton. How do you pronounce it? I don't speak French. Bobaton. I don't know how to say it. But anyway, you know what I'm talking
about,
right? The ladies in the blue. But they had black girls in yellow, like, dancing. And I was like, where did they even get this meme?
I love it.
Please go on the hashtag Black Hogwarts.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And they have memes to match it. And I don't know how they happened. I'm very confused. The internet is still undefeated. That's the last
I know. One. I feel like there's some memes where I'm just like, did someone make this or was it just given to us by some
by
higher power?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think some of them are ordained. Most of the Beyonce ones.
They're predicted.
Because I'm like, she didn't do this. She never did this. She never wore this outfit. Like, I know. Listen, shout out to our digital team, too. We have a Giphy page of all of our GIFs and memes and whatever.
I love GIFs
so much.
Oh,
my God. We have 10 million hits on this on our page. Something like that. The other day I looked, it was like 10 million, maybe more. And it's only been up, what? I don't know. A couple weeks? And so we have, so, and shout out to everybody who uses our GIFs or memes that you get. Oh, 9.5 million.
I saw a review of your show that was like, it is like one of the specific compliments was it is very GIFable.
Yay! That's
there's
awesome.
There's so many sound bites and.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Very snappy.
Well, it's so fast paced.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, you know, you were involved in the beginning when it was just a baby, but it's like my goal is to have nonstop jokes
right.
and to let the videotapes convey the news, but I'm not giving the news. I'm
right.
just reacting and making jokes about
right,
it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And that's, I think that's the thing. I think when I was making this show, I think just a little inside baseball, like I was watching other shows and was in awe of what
yeah.
was happening, especially with like Sam B, John Oliver, and
right.
everything John Stewart was able to do. And, you know, I just watched these shows and what Seth Meyers has grown into. And I was like, okay, well, how do I make a show different from this
yeah.
other than just me being a black woman? Because that's not going to cut it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And my thing was, okay, people are doing these long deep dives and these really intellectual breakdowns of things. But how can I do that in a rapid form that puts comedy before content, but also, well, not before, but comedy is equal with content.
Yeah.
Because I wanted things that, I also wanted the show to feel like Black Twitter. Like I wanted it
right.
to feel like, and it didn't really come into that until after we got picked up at BET.
Because
I think in the beginning when we were making it, I was just like, I didn't want it to be fast-paced and like
yeah.
cover, but I wasn't sure how, you know, that's part of the process,
yeah.
right? But once we were able to go to BET, I was like, oh, okay, now I can make this like Black Twitter and it can, you know, kind of live in that fast-paced.
Right, you like know the audience a little bit more.
Yeah.
Directly.
But it's cool because I think people are watching BET who have never watched BET.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's good. Well, I think our time is up already. This is a mini podcast, just a short podcast because we have, like I said, we shoot incessantly for this show. And I put a lot of backstory into things.
A lot of wigs.
Oh, my God. There's so many wigs. Really, it's the only reason I do this show is to get the wigs. But thank you so much for being with us. Where can people check you out?
My website is easy. It's just aparnacomedy.com. And then I'm in this Comedy Central show called Corporate that
yes.
comes out next week.
I am very excited about
Thank
Corporate.
You.
Wait, tell us a little bit about Corporate before we go.
So it's basically like a dark workplace comedy. It's kind of shot very cinematically, so it has a very
it
different
really
feel
cool.
from a lot
yeah.
of other Comedy Central shows and comedies in general, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's very, I don't know, it's a little bit nihilistic. It's very anti-capitalist. It feels like it speaks very much to the moment we're in.
Nice.
But it's
and
a comedy.
Do you play?
I am the HR lady, Grace. Yeah.
And what's your deal? Are you like, are you helpful? Are you not helpful?
I think I'm like sort of the middle in terms of like some of the characters are fully corrupt and like buy into the like corporation madness, and then some of them are a little bit still trying to find where they fit into it. And I think I sort of like understand it's bad, but just trying to make it through the day so I can like go home and watch Scandal or the Great British Bake Off or whatever.
Oh my God, yeah. You just named my two favorite shows. Just say Golden Girls and then we're complete with. Okay, this has been awesome. Please check her out on Twitter, on her website, on corporate, and if you ever get a chance to see a part alive, please treat yourself. She is freaking fantastic. She does amazing stand-up comedy. She could really teach a masterclass. And if you can't get to see her live, check her out on Twitter because the jokes are there too. And a lot of stand-ups do not do that, by the way. They will not, like, quote-unquote, waste jokes on Twitter. Right. But you give us A-plus material in person and online. So thank you for that. Give it up for our partner, Nancherla, everybody. All right, you guys, that has been another episode of the Randown Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy 2018 to you. Thank you for everything. Thanks for watching the show last night. If you haven't seen it, make sure to tune in. You can check it out on BET.com, free for 7 days after we air. So even if you don't have cable, you can watch it on BET.com. Go to the rundowns section on the site, and you can watch the show for free until next Thursday. So tell your friends who don't have cable that there is a way to watch it as well. All right. We will see you guys next week. Keep tweeting us. Use the hashtag TheRundownBET. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And if you guys have any ideas for the show, let us know. Use the hashtag TheRundownBET. We are happy to hear from you. And thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And remember, no matter what color you are, stay black.